السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Respected listeners, Alhamdulillah, we are blessed, privileged and honored to be in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a Sunday evening, you can call it, and when it's so sunny outside, to come to the masjid to perform our Salatul Asr. At this time, there will be so many brothers and sisters sitting at home or outside in the parks, and they will not fulfill this duty, this obligatory responsibility of performing Salah. حَافِذُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى To protect every Salah, especially the middle Salah. The Mufassirun mention the middle Salah is referring to Salatul Asr. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam specially singling out the Salatul Asr, he says, مَنْ فَاتَتُ الْعَسْرُ فَقَدْ وُطِرَ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ The person who misses his Asr Salah, he should have this degree of grief and sadness that as though he's lost his entire family, his entire assets. That's the amount of grief we should be having. But unfortunately, we see ourselves day in, day out, we're missing our Salah. We have become part-time Muslims. So on the day of Jummah, this masjid will be full. All the different passages, different rooms on Salatul Jummah. Then immediately after that, Asr Salah, back to square one. So the Quran is telling you and me, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا دْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً O believers, enter Islam entirely. Become a complete Muslim. Don't be a part-time Muslim. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ Are you believing in some part of the book and rejecting the other part? So we as Muslims, even though Alhamdulillah we have Iman, but what has happened is we have forgotten that we have to fulfill Islam in every aspect. When we say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, that means we believe everything that Allah has commanded us and we're going to be fulfilling that. And Muhammad Rasulullah, we are going to follow the message, the sunnah of our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Like, by way of example, a person, he gets married. So the brother, he says, قَبِلْتُهَا وَنَكَحْتُهَا The sister accepts as well. So they both accept and they become legal, lawful husband and wife. So this is a full package, complete package. So after a week, the wife says to the husband, My dear husband, I need to go to the doctors. I didn't say that when I accepted. I just said, I accepted. I didn't say, I'm going to take you to the doctors. It's a part of the package. So when I've said, La ilaha illallah, that means everything is included in that. Performing salah, establishing zakah, observing the fast. You know, if faraz, hajj is faraz on me, I need to do hajj. I need to stay away from all the sins. That is part of the package. When I said Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is Allah's messenger. So I am going to be following the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He is going to be my ultimate role model, the eternal role model. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ For you, in the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a beautiful role model. So we need to understand, and it's very important, because we pick and choose. So we have become part-time Muslim, and the sad reality is, we are happy with it as well. We appease ourselves. Oh, it's okay, it's fine. So on the Jummah day, this masjid, many of our brothers will see this masjid only on a Friday. Throughout the week, nobody comes. So I was leading a Jummah in one of the masjid in London. So the committee came up to me. They said, Sheikh, there'll be 5,000 people listening to your khutbah today, the Jummah. I said, if you don't mind, can I politely ask you one question? How many people attend the Fajr Salah, Salatul Fajr? They said, oh, Sheikh, that's a good question. About 50. I said, this is 1% of 5,000. Very big masjid. That's 1%. Salatul Fajr is faraz as well. Salatul Jummah is faraz. And until we don't understand, because the problem is we don't have the realization. When we understand that, subhanAllah, the reward, what Allah and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us, and also at the same time understanding the warnings. Because this very world is not the place of compensation, neither is the place of retribution. If we carried out our Salatul Asr now, there'll be nobody standing outside and saying to you, that, okay, you performed the Asr Salah, you're going to get this gift. But if there was something tangible, something apparent, something, you know, you get, like, okay, you got, everybody who reads Salah here, they're going to get £5. That's £5 per Salah, £25 per day. That's £175 per week. This masjid will be full. Isn't our Salah worth £5? Rak'at al-fajr khayru min ad-dunya wa ma fiha. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says the two rakats of Fajr, not the faraz, the two rakats sunnah of Fajr, khayru min ad-dunya wa ma fiha. It is better than the world and what it contains. So we need to have this understanding and the realization. We need to build on this iman. That's why the great companion Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, ijlis bina nu'minu sa'a. In Hadith of Bukhari mentions that ijlis bina, sit down with us so we can talk about iman. Like when Tabligh Jamaat comes and they say, iman aur yaqeen ki baatein hogi. Hum Musalman nahi hai, iman aur yaqeen ki baat keh rahe. So this is the problem. But we our iman is so weak that it doesn't make us come to the masjid. That's what we need to build on our iman, that conviction. No. And this is the point which is lacking, and that's why we don't take the Islamic knowledge seriously. You think, what's the point about seeking this knowledge? Because we, subhanallah, we have degraded this knowledge of deen. And how beautifully Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, رَضِينَا بِقِسْمَةِ الْجَبَّارِ فِينَا لَنَا الْعِلْمِ وَلِلْجُحَالِ مَالُ. He said, we are happy with the divine distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given us knowledge, He's given the ignorant people wealth. I'm happy with that. And we do really realize this knowledge, because, you know, nowadays our youngsters and our brothers and sisters, because of the technology being so progressive, AI and everything, we think to ourselves, all this knowledge is there. No, that's not knowledge. That's ma'lumat. That's information. That's not knowledge. Knowledge is something which is divine. Al-ilmu izzun la dhulla fihi wa yahsulu bi dhullin la izza fihi. Ilm is izzah. There is no humiliation in it, but it's going to be achieved through hardship. There will be no izzat in it. In other words, you have to make sure that you seek the true knowledge of deen. You understand? By sitting in front of the scholars, by getting that knowledge from the true scholars. Inna Allah la yaqbidu al-ilma intiza'an yantazi'uhu min al-ibad, walakin yaqbidu al-ilma biqabdi al-ulama, hatta idha lam yubqi 'aliman ittakhadha an-nasu ru'usan juhala fasu'ilu fa'aftau bighayri 'ilmin fadallu wa adallu. This knowledge is not going to be just snatched away, but it's going to be taken away by the departure, by the demise, by the death of the true ulama, true scholars. And when they leave, what will happen? اتخذ الناس. People will make people, you know, those who are ignorant, leaders. So YouTube influencers, oh wow, it's amazing, look at what he's saying. And you listen to them and we think to ourselves, this is true knowledge. This is not knowledge. This is just information, and it's mostly fake. You have to make sure it's true. And any information, I like to mention this point, before we get this information, we need to first of all let it go through the triple filter test. Triple meaning three. Filter, we need to filter it before we get that knowledge. So first filter, is it true or not? Is it true or false? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has told us that a person seeking knowledge, he needs to make sure that he seeks knowledge from the right kind of people. The Quran is telling us, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu in ja'akum fasiq. If a fasiq, transgressor, a sinner comes to you, binabayin, with any information, fatabayyanu, dissect and make sure that you investigate. Whatever he's saying, is it true? Fatabayyanu an tusibu qawman bijahalatin fatusbihu ala ma fa'altum nadimin. So you don't regret afterwards. So any information, any news, any knowledge that comes to you, you have to first of all find out, is it true? Are these the reputable scholars? Are these scholars who got the credentials? Are these scholars who are, subhanallah, got the degrees, got the qualification to teach? You can't just have any Tom, Dick and Harry, jack of all trades. You understand? He just says anything on the YouTube and you just take it on board just because he can speak fluent English or something. Or subhanallah, he's looking good. You understand? And this is what the problem is nowadays. Oh, he's got so many views. And we take that as a criteria to think that this is, you know, he's correct. Or she is correct. So first thing, is it true or not? Number two, even if it's true, you understand, is that information good for us or bad for us? You know, some people give out information, it might be true, but it's not good. What is backbiting? The Prophet ﷺ asked the Sahaba Ikram, "Atadruna mal ghiba?" Do you know what backbiting is? Sahaba Ikram, out of respect, they said, "Allahu Rasulu A'lam." Allah and His Messenger knows best. The vikruka akhaka bima yakrahu. You're mentioning about your brother what he dislikes. So they said, "In kana fihi ma aqul." If he is in him, then what is that? Because in kana fihi ma taqul, faqad ightabtahu. If it is in him, that's backbiting. Wa illam takun fihi, faqad bahattahu. If it's not in him, that's buhtan, that's slander. So we, especially, not regarding only knowledge, regarding everyday talk on, you know, the social media. So before we say something, before we send a message, before we receive a message, we need to take them to the triple filter test. Filter of truth, filter of, you know, goodness, and the third filter of usefulness. Is it useful for me? It's true, it's good, but is it useful? If I say Alhamdu, I'll get 50 rewards. But if I just talk nonsense, I'm not going to get no reward for that. It might be true, it might be good. You know, I might be talking to my friend, making happy, but is that going to give me any reward in the hereafter? So this is very important, and this is where we waste our time. When we can be seeking true knowledge, we're wasting our time and we don't realize. That's one of the things the Prophet ﷺ says, نِعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ السِّحَّةُ وَالْفَرَاغُ. Two blessings regarding which many people are oblivious of, they neglect, they don't value it. One is as-sihha, health, and the other one is free time. So when we have the free time, we could seek knowledge. Like for example, mashallah, all of you are sat down here with the intention of, you know, performing a Salatul Asr, then to listen to the lecture. But many of us, we don't have that eagerness, that zeal and the enthusiasm has to be there to seek this knowledge. But if it's not there, like because we think to ourselves, there's easy way of getting it, we'll get through AI, we'll get it through Google. And many people do that. Many people take knowledge from there and it's completely useless knowledge, or sometimes it's the wrong knowledge. Like one person, he kept his son's name Rajim. I said, why did he keep Rajim for? He goes, in the Quran it comes, فَإِذَا قَرَاتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. I said, do you know what the meaning of Rajim is? Because I just thought it's in the Quran, I saw this verse and I accepted it. I said, Rajim is mardood, rejected. You know, and he's talking about the shaitan. You don't want your son to be shaitan. Another person kept the name Minha. Because Minha, you know, when we bury the dead, we say Minha khalaqna, must be something good. Minha rakdo, wahasih. You understand? Minha khalaqnakum wa fiha nu'idukum wa minha. It comes twice in one verse. Like a lot of, you know, in our madrasa, students come, girls come. What's the name? La Raib. Boy comes, what's your name? La Raib. Boy's name, La Raib. I said, there's no doubt about it. La Raib means no doubt. So the boy's name is La Raib. Why? Because it's in the Quran. Alif Lam Mim Dhalika Al-Kitabu La Raib Afi. So the girl's name, La Raib. Boy's name, La Raib. So this is the problem. So when we just try to just get things from the internet and get it from AI, and we don't come to the right kind of people, some of these names, they are so embarrassing. You know, a sister came and, you know, she said, you know, my name is Nahid. I said, you know, Nahida is not a good name. He goes, what's the meaning? You know, just tell your husband to come, I'll explain to him. So people don't know the meaning of these names. And it's so embarrassing. So the point here is we need to understand that knowledge has to be. This is one important thing. We need to make sure that we seek the knowledge from the right kind of scholars. Alhamdulillah, we still in the UK, in Scotland, mashallah, we have our great scholars. I've been to so many different countries of Europe, Norway, you know, France, Portugal, Greece, so all these different countries, Spain, so they are so behind in terms of, in the whole entire Norway, there's not a single madrasa. So alhamdulillah, we have these facilities here. We need to, mashallah, we have our scholars here in the different masajid in Scotland. We should try to gain the knowledge from the right scholars. They have gone through that system. And we think this person, he just sat down or he just got the knowledge from the internet and he's just put something together and we can get that knowledge. No, no, no. So this is the first thing that we need to understand, that we need to get the knowledge from the right kind of people. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. O believers, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be with those people who are truthful. So truthful people, those who have got knowledge, those who are the pious. And Allama Alusi rahmatullah alayhi tafsir, he said, how long should you stay with them? Hatta takunu mithlahum, until you become like them. خالطوهم حتى تكون مثلهم, ان کے ساتھ مل جل کر کے رہو یہاں تک کہ تم ان کے مانند بن جاؤ. بی اسٹے ان دا کمپنی, اسوشیٹ ود دیم, انٹرمنگل ود دیم, سوشلائز ود دیم انٹل یو بیکم لائک دیم. دس از دا پوائنٹ. سو ایچ اینڈ ایوری ون آف اس وی ہیو ٹو سیک دا نالج وچ از دا منیمم, وچ از دیٹ طلب العلم فریضۃ علی کل مسلم. سیکنگ نالج از فرض اپن ایوری مسلم, ویدر میل اور فیمیل. There is a certain amount of knowledge that each and every one of us we need to know. That knowledge which will differentiate between right and wrong, distinguish between halal and haram. That knowledge which will give us the ability to recite the Quran without any mistakes of lahna jali or lahna khafi. These mistakes. Arabic language is a very, subhanallah, language which just small changes in the pronunciation can change the meaning. If you say qalbun with a big qaf, that means heart. If you say kalbun with a small one, that means dog. Look at the difference. And many of us, we read it wrong. The letter tha, seen and sawed. Thumma. Thumma kalla safar. Thumma means then. Summa with a seen. Summa, it means to poison. Summa with a sawed, it means death. The tha, seen and sawed. Big difference. So a person seeking this knowledge, he needs to, when he goes to the Quran, he needs to be able to recite the Quran, that the surahs that he reads in namaz. So we are reading our salah on a daily basis. Many of us, we read Surah Al-Fatiha, but we are making so many major mistakes. So for example, if a person says Sirat al-Ladina an'amta, instead of an'amta, he said an'amtu, it completely will break his salah, because an'amta means you have bestowed, you have given Allah, and an'amtu means I have given. Big difference. It will break your namaz. And if you did it intentionally, it can take a person towards kufr. So this is how dangerous it is. So this amount of knowledge, and this is the problem, is that, you know, we don't even have that basic knowledge. To have a scholar in every locality, that's a farz-e kifaya, that at least one person should be, you know, having the knowledge of the Quran, the deeper knowledge of the tafsir, the commentary of the ahadith and the Quranic ayats, and the meaning of fiqh and all the Muslim masail in depth. That's farz-e kifaya. That's one person or few people in the area, locality, that's fine. But for every single individual, male and female, for everybody to have this amount of knowledge, which tells them what is halal and haram, that they can read that amount of Quran, which will make the salah valid, that's compulsory upon every Muslim. That's farz-e ayn. And we don't even have that amount of knowledge. So this is very important. Number one, like, we need to get the knowledge from the right kind of people. The secondly is, am I doing my responsibility? On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask us, we're not able to be moving from our place until we don't answer five questions. One of the questions is, did you seek the knowledge, and how much of this did you practice on? That's one of the main questions. And we haven't even got that knowledge, so we're going to fail in the first one. The second, did you act upon it? That will be second. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So from this, the scholar says, ilm, knowledge. Before everything else, we have to have the knowledge. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, before he starts even the chapter of wudu, performing ablution and salah, he puts down Kitab al-Ilm, the chapter of knowledge. And the scholars of hadith mention the reason that even before, because if you want to do wuzu, if you want to do tayammum, if you want to do ghusl, if you want to perform your salah, all these things, before that, knowledge is essential. Knowledge is prerequisite. You have to have knowledge to do all these things. So that's why, my brothers and sisters listening, each and every one of us, we need to get this time out. Nowadays, we don't have no time. We have time for everything else. They just did a survey and they found out that the teenagers, the people, they spend on average 7 hours on the social media on a daily basis. 7 hours, that's more than quarter of the time on social media. That's on average. Some are using more. And we don't have time to come to the masjid. We don't have time to give. You know, we have weekly dars, we have weekly programs in the masajid to learn about the deen. We don't have this time to do that. So how are we going to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So that's why everybody, the realization that I need to seek this knowledge. Thirdly, you know, if a person understands the virtues of knowledge, then subhanallah, he will be seeking knowledge throughout his life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَقُرْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا, that, oh, say, Allah, increase me in knowledge. That's about our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. بَعْدَزْ خُدَى بُزُرْغْ تُوْهِ قِصَّى مُخْتَصَرْ, whose status is only after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's ordering, say, I increase me in knowledge. Knowledge, there is no limit. Seeking knowledge all the time. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, he was the Imam of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So he says, subhanallah, ma alimtu hadithan illa hafiztuhu. Any hadith that I learned, I memorized it. Wa ma hafiztuhu illa amiltuhu. And any hadith that I memorized, I practiced on it. So how many ahadith were there? Not one, not ten, not hundred, not thousand, not 10,000, not 100,000, 1,000,000 ahadith. You understand? Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi, acting upon all this. So he himself, he became Imam of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Even in his latter age, advanced age, when he had students who were imams, and subhanallah, thousands of people benefited from this ocean of knowledge. So even in his advanced age, he was seen going from one study circle to the other. So his own students said, Hazrat, you know, what are you doing? You know, these people that you're going to, they're your students. They're people who are junior than yourself. And what beautiful words he said. Ma'al mihbarati ilal maqbarati. With the inkpot to the graveyard. I will be taking my inkpot to the graveyard. In other words, I'll be seeking knowledge. Utlub al-ilma min al-mahdi ilal lahd. Seek knowledge from the cradle to the deathbed. So there is no stoppage in knowledge. The great Imam, Imam Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the greatest Imam. And knowledge needs adab, respect. So the more respect we give to knowledge, the more adab we give, the knowledge will give us, you know, more and more. So Imam Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the greatest scholars, subhanallah, who just left us, you know, just in the last century. So he was an amazing person, who had a photographic memory. To this extent, they say he used to teach in Darul Deoband, and the principal there, chancellor there, Qari Muhammad Tayyib Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala, he used to say that even, Allah forbid, if all the books of the library of Darul Deoband were burnt, he had the knowledge to rewrite all these books. That's the amount of knowledge he had. So this craving of knowledge, and how did he get this knowledge? Two things. He says, right, he never ever touched a book without wuzu. So we will be thinking about, like, you know, Quran, we need to have la yamassuhu illa al-mutahharun, a person who should have wuzu to touch the Quran. He never touched any normal knowledge, book of knowledge, sciences of Islam, without ablution, without wuzu. So that's the respect he gave. And even, like, you know, the olden books, those who have studied in the olden times, so the book, they had the hashiya, the marginal nose, you know, wiggly, you understand? So they used to have upside down and all this. So he never used to move the kitab around, he used to move himself. So he used to put it on the bench, and he used to move around himself to read the notes. He never used to turn the book around, he used to turn himself. That's how much respect he gave. Nowadays, when I think, you know, that's crazy. But these people, they understood the deen. They understood the value, they understood the adab and the etiquettes. So himself, subhanallah, he had a photographic memory. He says that if he read something, that will remain in his mind till his last breath. And if he just glanced at something, it will remain till 15 years in his mind. That's the, you know, memory, quwwat hafiza he had. It's just amazing. So once it happened that he was, you know, the news spread, because he was very ill, the news spread that he passed away. So he was in his room, in his, you know, library, he was sitting down there, and people thought, you know, he's passed away. Allama Shabbir Ahmad Usmani rahimahullah ta'ala and Mufti Shafi Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala, they came running into his chamber, and they, when they opened, they found him sitting down, dozanu, like the way you sit down for tashahud, and there was very dim light, and he was studying. So Allama Shabbir Ahmad Usmani rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the great scholars, Mufassir and very great student of Shaykhul Hind Mala Mahmud Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala. So he says, you know, like he was quite free with him. He goes, Hazrat, you know, what are you doing? Hampar raham karo. He said, show mercy on us. If you're not going to show mercy on you, on yourself, show mercy on us. If something happens to you, what's going to happen to us? You know, we've heard that you passed away and you are studying your books. And, you know, what is left for you to study now? You've learnt everything. You've studied everything. What are you doing? You know, there's no need. We've heard that you passed away. You're supposed to be resting now. And he just kept silent. And then they said, look, if there was something, why didn't you call us? We would have got the reference for you, whatever book you needed. And he just didn't talk. At the end, when they finished, they said, and he said it in Urdu, you know, subhanAllah. He said, Main kya karun bhai? Ye janam rog hai. Those who understand Urdu, you'll understand. Because what can I do? This is the illness that I have. I can't stay without books. And I say, do dua that we get that illness. We can't stay without books. Do you know the word mutala'a? Those who understand basic Arabic, mutala'a is sulasi mazid fees. Mutala'a is both sided. So we got all the books on our shelves, in our homes and in the madrasa, in the masjid. They're doing thulu, sulasi mujarrad. They're looking at us, take us out, read us. Mutala'a will happen when we open it, then it's mutala'a. It's mufa'ala. It's two-sided. Those who understand the khasiyat of the babs. So basically what is happening is, we're not studying. We just with AI, with mobile phones. Who reads the Quran nowadays? Like one of the hadiths, he says, "Yushiku ayyati ala an-nas zaman la yabqa min al-Islam illa ismuhu." A time will come upon the people, nothing of Islam will remain but its name. What's your name? Abdul Rahman. What's your name? Abdullah. What's your name? Muhammad. So do you practice deen? No. Sister, what's your name? Aisha. What's your name? Khadija. Do you practice? No. So just by name will be Muslim. Wala yabqa min al-Quran illa rasmuhu. Nothing will remain from the Quran but its rasam, its script. So there'll be Quran on the shelves, but we're not going to be reading it. We got Quran on our mobile phones. Even then, we don't read it. So Quran is not for the shelf, it's for ourselves. But we're not doing it. We're not reading the Quran. Nowadays, complete. Well, you know, we don't have no time to read the Quran. That's what it is, seeking knowledge. Having that aspiration to study the Quran. Nowadays, you know, the month of Ramadan finishes, back to square one, we don't read the Quran. And now many places, instead of 20 rakats, we're reading 8 rakats, and then we don't do the khatam even in the month of Ramadan. So throughout the year, we don't read 11 months. And then the month of Ramadan comes, even then we don't do the khatam. Because we are very clever people. Do you understand? 8 rakats is sunnah. Do you understand? We're not going to follow Umar radiallahu ta'ala. We said 20 rakats, Prophet. The Prophet said 8 rakats. MashaAllah, very clever people. We're more clever than Umar radiallahu ta'ala. For 1400 years, this happened and no scholars, you know, Imam Awanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad, and all these Hafiz ibn Hajar, you know, Imam Badruddin Aini, and all these Allama Suyid, nobody understood. They all read 20, and for us, no, no, it's 8 rakats. No, no, I'm a big muhaddis. You know, I've done research on it. So many brothers, Mufti Sahib, you know, you don't know this hadith. It's in the hadith of Bukhari. I said, MashaAllah, so what did you read in the hadith? Alhamdulillah, I've been teaching Bukhari for 25 years myself. And this brother comes up and he says, it's in the hadith of Bukhari. He can't even pronounce the word Bukhari. He said, Bukhari. So this is the problem we have. And this is where we get the wrong knowledge from. Because we're just reading text. We don't understand. And nowadays, so much fitna in that. So many negative points about Islam. You know, so people are leaving Islam left, right, and center. Because this is the prophecy of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Satakunu fitna. Samma bakma amya yusbihu rajul mu'minan wa yumsi kafira wa yumsi mu'minan wa yusbihu kafira yabi'u dinahu bi'aradin min ad-dunya. Fitna will come, trials and tribulations will come. It will make a person deaf, dumb and blind. In the morning he'll be believer, in the evening he'll be disbeliever. In the evening he was a believer, in the morning he'll be a disbeliever. So what will happen? Yabi'u dinahu, will sell his deen for petty things of the dunya. I have an open surgery in Bradford, subhanAllah, for 30 years. So we used to get cases, you know, just basic problems in the community. Now we have parents coming crying. My son just came back from the school. He said he doesn't believe in God. He's 15-year-old. So he came and I said, so why don't you believe in God? You know, who created you? Oh, it was just Big Bang. I came into the world. I said, what? So you don't believe in a creator? Sheikh, what's wrong with you? Why are you so worried about me? If there is a creator, I'll deal with him. You just go to sleep. He's saying to me, wow, this is the problem. This is why it is. So you see all these negative points regarding the Quran, regarding Allah, regarding the Prophet, regarding the wives of the Prophet, regarding the Sahaba, taking things out of context. So you have one person is writing, Jesus Christ said this, love your brother. The Prophet Muhammad said, kill them wherever they are. Astaghfirullah. The Prophet Muhammad said this. Then you see all these comments of our so-called clever boys and girls. so-called brothers and sisters, astaghfirullah, we thought he's the rahmatulil alameen. He said, kill whatever they are, so I'm leaving Islam. That's how weak our iman is. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So out of context, we don't want to understand. You know, put everything in context. That's why knowledge is important. That's why we need to get the right kind of scholars. We need to get the right kind of knowledge. And we have that on a daily basis. So this person, he came, the parents brought him to see me, an 18-year-old. He goes, you know, I said, what are you? He says, I'm Ahle Quran. I said, Ahle Quran, what do you mean? I don't believe in these imams. I don't believe in even hadith. I just believe Quran. So I said, okay, you don't believe in the Prophet? No, just Quran. So if you want to debate with me, Mr. Mufti, then you have to debate from the Quran. I said, okay, so you're going to accept the Quran? Because yes, if you know, so what do you know of the Quran? So I said, I got Aisha Bulis translation with me. So it's not the Quran, it's a translation you got. So you have to give evidence from the Quran. You just got a translation. Can you read the Quran? Do you not understand the meaning of it? What if this woman who's translated is wrong? How do you know? So then I said, okay, the Quran is telling you, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu atiyu Allah wa atiyu Rasul. So I said, here he says to the believers, obey Allah and obey the messenger. Because it's your words against my words. I said, Allahu Akbar, this is the words of the Quran, that's why you don't know anything. I read, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ. So every time he says, your words against my words. And then, you know, I said, how many times namaz do you read? He says, 5 times. Because what do you say in the Quran? Read 5 times, ways. So he goes, okay. I read 2 times. You just said 5 times now. So it's completely confused. 18-year-old. So I said to him, so where did you get this information? Because we friends in the college, we sit down together in the tea time break, and there's a certain website we follow, and they told us this hadith, Imam Bukhari, he compiled this 200 years after the Prophet, is all he made it up. That's why we don't follow Bukhari Sharif. So he doesn't even follow the hadith, forget, you know, the imams. Allahu Akbar. So this is the fitna. So counter this fitna, we need to have the true knowledge. This is where the true knowledge comes in. And that's why, alhamdulillah, I always say to my students, we actually, you know, achieved this knowledge at the time when there was no social media. So we studied in Darul Umbari at that time in the 1980s. We used to be only 2 payphones. So what used to happen is, on a Saturday, after our class finished after Zohar time, we had to, you know, the person who could run the fastest, he could be able to come and join the queue. So we used to come with our books in our hand, Usul Shashi, Riyadu Salihin, Hidayah, whichever Kitab, Mishkat, Bukhari. So we used to come and line up, we used to be studying, and when our turn is to come, we used to have 10 pence coins in our pockets, our parents to give when we went home. And then we used to put it and say, Salam, Abbu, we're okay, Ammu, we're okay, do dua for us, okay, next person. Because there's so many people on the queue. 400 people and there's only 2 payphones. And now everybody's got 3-4 mobile phones with them. So I say, alhamdulillah, it's a blessing that we sought this knowledge when there was no mobile phones. So we could study day and night. So the problem here is that we need to get the knowledge from the right kind of people. And this, you know, if we seek the true knowledge, there's so much blessing in that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi ilma, sahhalallahu lahu bihi tariqan ilal jannah." The person who treads on the path of seeking knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the path of Jannah easy for that person. And whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. The person whom Allah intends goodness for, He gives him the understanding of deen. So my brothers and sisters, it's not that, oh, we have to go on, you know, enroll in the madrasa. We have so many facilities around ourselves in the madrasa, in the masjid, that we go to our scholars and get the true knowledge instead of just getting the knowledge from online and getting from the people who are not recognized, or they don't have the, you know, degree or the qualification to pass this knowledge on. And unfortunately, this is what's happening everywhere. So people just, Tom, Dick and Harry, they have, you know, said something and, oh, there's a million views there, we'll just take that on board and we'll just follow it. So my point here is that firstly, subhanallah, we need to understand Islam as a whole package. And to understand Islam, we need to have the true knowledge. And for the true knowledge, we need to go to the right kind of recognized, qualified, reputable scholars. And then obviously to, you know, motivate ourselves, we need to understand that the seeking of knowledge is so amazing. Like, you know, our great imams, they sacrificed their entire life to seek this knowledge. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, it took him 16 years to compile this book of ahadith. For every hadith he wrote, he did ghusl, he did istikhara, then he wrote the hadith. Over 9,000 ahadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. So the point here is, subhanAllah, we got all this on a plate for us, you know, son, we need to just take it on board, but we don't want to. We got it all so easy. They did all the hard work. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the great companion, just for one hadith, he mentioned in the Bukhari Sharif that he traveled all the way from Medina Munawwara to Damascus in Syria just for one hadith, which he also already heard indirectly. He wanted to hear directly from the Sahabi. So he traveled one entire month for that one hadith. So we got it very easy. So the point and the lesson for each and every one of us here is that we need to take time out. And this is where the importance of knowledge comes in. There's so many different institutes that we can study. So my advice is speak to your imam, speak to the scholars and say, look, I got this, like in our JKN Madrasa, even if you want to join our Jamia Khatam Nabeen, we got the online classes, alhamdulillah, from Scotland, Glasgow and Edinburgh and different cities and towns. Brothers and sisters have joined our classes. We have classes for online students from the beginning. So we have a class which is called Back to Basics. So that 2 years is just to get, as I said, talabul ilmi faridatun ala kulli muslim, seeking knowledge is faraz upon every Muslim. So that 2 years is to just get your Quran read correctly, to get all the essentials of how to perform salah properly, the correct masail regarding fasting and zakat and all the rest of the everyday matters. So getting that amount of knowledge is for us. So we got back to basics. And after that, if somebody wants to become full qualified scholars, we got classes for them. Those who want to become hafiz, there's classes for them. Those who want to become muftis, there's classes for them. Those who want to become mufassir, there's class for them. Those who want to become muhaddith, there's class for them. So, but the main thing is getting that knowledge, which is the compulsory knowledge. So that's why it's very, very important that we seek this knowledge and we don't go to the wrong sources. And this is what's happening around the world. Because people think to themselves that we got the knowledge and we do whatever we need to do. So a person, there was an olden days, subhanAllah, like we see ourselves when we were young, even now in some of the masajid, you will see that they have a place like, they have a basket there or a box there where they have the topis, the hat, the headgear, and they will put it on. But nowadays what's happened is the fashion is to read without topi. Namaz will be done. I'm not, arguing with the validity of the namaz. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except for Umrah and Hajj, he always had his topi. Not only that, he used to also wear the turban. So we need to make sure that in our lives, we have the sunnah in our lives. Like for example, having clothes for a male to have anything below the ankles. That's not permissible. That's not right. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ma asfala min al-ka'bayn min al-izar fa fi an-nar." That part of the garment which is below the ankles, this will be in the fire of Jahannam. But unfortunately, what has happened is, our mentality and the Western culture, it has taught us for female, it should be covering the ankles. No, they take it up so much that nothing is, covered. And men, they are told to keep it above the ankles. They keep it so low that they're cleaning the roads and the pavements on the way. This is what's happening. You understand? Completely opposite. And we think it's completely, that's fine. The way the haircuts, in the hadith he said, Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anil qaza. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited from qaza. His student, Abdullah ibn Umar, narrates the hadith when he asked Nafi', people asked him, what does it mean by qaza? He said, أَيَّحْلِقَ بَعْدَ رَأْسِ السَّبِي وَيَتْرُكَ بَعْدَهُ. That you shave some part of the hair and you leave some part of the hair. What is that? Short back and sides. But he said that 1400 years ago. Now that's become a fashion. When we were young, we never saw anybody. Not a single, these punks and, we used to call them punks and we used to call them mafias and we used to call them the bullies and this. And even then, they didn't have this kind of haircut. There was one boy in our area, he just permed his hair. And everybody said, Astaghfirullah, how dare you do this? You understand? And everybody hated him, they isolated him. Now, if you have normal hair, they isolate you. We got the haircut of, this football player and that and this. Every week, one of the mothers said to me, Mufti Sahib, when you next time speak to the students in the madrasa, can you tell them about the haircut? I said, what shall I say? Because my son, every week, he takes £20 to £30 for a haircut. I said, that's shocking, you know, amazing, you know, miraculous. You know, how does his hair grow so quickly every week? Because no, every week's a new haircut style. The same hair, but he just changes it around. So I said, that's £1,500 just on a haircut in a year. Then on top of that, you know, his weekly, food that he Uber eats and all the rest of it, fast food and all the milkshakes and all the different kind of cha-cha-chai and chaiwala and all the rest of it. So that comes to another £100. So he goes, I have to spend about £150 on my son, his food. So that's why, you know, we're in debt. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So sad. So this is what's happening. So we don't, because the problem is we have left the true Islam and we want to follow this so-called artificial, materialistic, fake way of life. Even the non-Muslim, even people who are not even Muslim, they're realizing this social media is bad. We need to ban it in school. This is bad, that is bad. We're coming back to Islam. I go to the prisons and in the prison is a big note, a big notice there. Any woman who comes, she must be dressed modestly. No miniskirts accepted. No transparent clothing. Even if you're going to meet your boyfriend or your husband. I said, wow. Now you come back to Islam. Islam says that from the beginning. Dress modestly. So why outside one ruling? Why inside? Because all these prisoners are going to be there. There's other male prisoners. Do you understand? It's going to be a problem. So dress modestly. But that should be the ruling for everybody. Let me just tell you one thing. It just came to my mind. Allah puts in the mind. You know, when we give kafan, shroud our dead. So for a female, it's 5 pieces of clothing. For a male, it's 3. Lifafa, izar, kameez. That's 3 for a male. Understand? And all these 3 covers the full body. For a woman, lifafa, izar, kameez. That's 3. On top of that, we got another 2. The sina band and the orni. The one that covers the chest and the part which is the orni, the part which covers the hair part, but it comes up to the waist. So all 5 pieces of clothing are covering the woman upper part. The first 3 are covering everything, but the 4th and 5th one, the sina band and the orni, covers the upper part of the body, the chest part. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, oh woman, if you want to come back to me, you need to dress modestly. That woman, she'll be advanced age most likely. There will be no sign of attraction. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, even if a woman is dead, that's the situation. Just imagine that woman, that young girl who's walking on the street with full makeup and with, you know, see-through clothing and with fragrance and everything. How important it is for her to cover herself. If that's the situation, you understand that you can't come in an immodest way back to me. Have you understood which angle I'm coming from? We don't realize. We just think to ourselves, it's my body, it's my freedom, I can do whatever I like. You understand? I could make it big, I could make it small, I could do this, I could do that, put some fillers. You know, when I travel to Turkey on the Turkish Airlines, you'll see many of our brothers and sisters, Muslim. You ask them, what are you going for? Oh, hair transplant, Sheikh. You understand? Our sisters will be going, you know, I need to change part of my body, I'm not happy with some parts. In the dua that we read when we look at the mirror, Allahumma ahsanta khalqi fa ahsin khuluqi. We are saying to Allah in the dua, Allah, you beautified my khalq, my disposition, my appearance, my image, my body. Already acknowledging and accepting that. Fa ahsin khuluqi. Allah, beautify my akhlaq. So already we acknowledge, but we're doing opposite. Akhlaq we're not bothered about, but our body, no, we need to work on that. Complete opposite. So when we seek the true knowledge, all this information, all this knowledge and all this true understanding will come. And subhanAllah, this is where Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam words come in mind. Somebody asked him, where did you acquire all this beautiful akhlaq from? He said, I acquired it, I received it, I took this from those people who lack it, who are bereft of it, who don't have it, devoid of it. Because that's quite shocking. Can you expound, can you elucidate, can you explain what are you saying? Because look, if somebody has done something wrong, negative, I think to myself, if I'm in his shoes, people will dislike it. So I stay away from it. I shun this. I stay away from that. So I learn as a Muslim, as a true Muslim, we learn from positive as well as negative. خذ ما صفا واترك ما قدرا. The beautiful Arabic saying, take what is clear, leave what is dirty. So take all the good points, whether it's Muslim or non-Muslim, take the good points and overlook the bad points. So in one of my books, the book titled is Don't Worry, Be Happy. That's the book called. So in that saying is there. So I was in London for 3-day lectures, and this elderly person in his late 60s or 70s, he was following us, and then one place he stopped me. Sheikh, I just want to say one thing to you. I said, okay, you know, I got this book of yours last time when you came to learn last year, and I've been acting upon this. I just wanted to say thank you to you. I said, what do you mean? Because after acting upon this, everything is Jannah for me. My wife had so much problem, so I, you know, overlook all her faults. Even though she's got nothing good, but I just overlook all the good, all bad things, and now it's Jannah for me. I'm happy, there's no arguments. And my neighbors, they used to cause so much problem, I just overlook it all. My masjid politics, I stopped all this. I just come to namaz and go out. Now is the world is Jannah for me, acting upon this saying of yours, khudma. So I take all the good. If there's no good, I just overlook and just move on. I say, mashallah. That's the thing. So as a believer, this is the way. And this is the point that we need to, you know, get into our mind. When somebody said to Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, he was, you know, in terms of his external body, he was black in complexion, he was short, big lips. So somebody said to Ma akbaha wajhak, how ugly is your face? Just imagine somebody said that to you, me. So Luqman alayhi salam didn't get infuriated with anger. He gave the true answer. He put us into our real position. He said, Ata'ibu bihada ala naqshi aw ala naqash. Are you finding a fault at the design or the designer? The fashion or the fashion maker? The pattern or the pattern maker? Who designed is Allah? The way he designed? If you're making fun of my body, then you are making fun of Allah, because Allah made me like this. That wasn't my choice. If we can get that in our mind, and this knowledge, the true knowledge will teach us that. The point I'm trying to say here is the true knowledge. When we get the true knowledge of deen, this will teach us that subhanallah, we need to respect everyone. Al-khalqu iyalullah. فأحب الخلق إلى الله من أحسن إلى عياله. That khalq, the creation of Allah, is the family. Iyalullah is the family of Allah. The best one is the one, the most beloved to Allah, is the one who shows kindness to the family members. So when we have the true knowledge, then we will be able to, subhanAllah, become the ambassadors of deen, instead of become the obstacles. The problem we have is, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we had those people who misinterpreted Islam. Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, As bin Wail, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id, Walid ibn Mughira, and those misunderstood the masses. But in our times, we have three misses. We have two misses there, misinterpret and misunderstand. We have three misses here. You might be thinking, what's three misses here? So we have the misinterpreting. You know, so BBC. Sometimes we say, amang to BBC. We just, ne iman laya BBC par. We don't want to accept anything. So BBC, Sky News, you know, CNN, all these are misinterpreting Islam. All these tabloid newspapers. And then the mass is the misunderstanding. Then we have the third miss. Misrepresent us, you and me. We misrepresenting Islam, unfortunately. But at the Sahaba-i-Kiram time, they had the both, but the Sahaba-i-Kiram represented Islam. That's why after Sulh Hudaybiyah, peace treaty of Hudaybiyah, in that 2 years before the conquest of Mecca, from the 6th year, Hijri to 8, 2 years, the amount of Muslims that, you know, people that converted, reverted to Islam, were more than the 19 years put together. Why? Because they look at the Sahaba-i-Kiram, they say, no, Muslims are like that, not the way how these, you know, critics and enemies of Islam told us. So they reverted to Islam. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ الْأَفْوَاجَ. You'll see the people entering Islam in droves, in multitudes. So what happened here was, subhanallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you and me that if a person is representing, Sahaba-i-Kiram represented Islam. So what happened was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا. If you believe like the way they believe, who are these people? The Sahaba-i-Kiram. فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا, then you'll be guided as well. That's why the Sahaba-i-Kiram, they were the benchmark, they were the yardstick, they were the kasoti of deen. That, you know, if you follow like them, then this is iman. You understand? وَكُلَّمْ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. Allah promised every single one of them husna, jannat. So this is the point that we have to keep in mind, that they represented Islam. That's why, subhanallah, people flocked. 6 Sahaba-i-Kiram, they went into the modern-day China for business, trade. And so basically, but they did the trading in an Islamic way, in a trustful way. At-tajir as-saduq al-amin ma'an nabiyyin was-siddiqin was-shuhada. That a trustworthy, truthful, you know, businessman, he will be the anbiya, the prophets, the truthful people, the shuhada, the martyrs. And they showed that when they came out, over 600,000 people already became Muslims because of their trustworthiness, because of their truthful way of doing the business. So this is the point, that when we get the true knowledge and we practice on it, then you will see people entering Islam. So we need to be representing Islam. We need to be ambassadors of the deen, not being obstacle. The biggest problem we have is we become obstacle when they see a Muslim like this. No, then we're not going to accept. We need to be the ambassadors. You know, there is this non-Muslim, he worked for this company. The person who was in charge, he was a Muslim brother. But he didn't give his wages. He worked for us. And this non-Muslim, he came to see me. He goes, you know, my person who is in charge, my employer, he hasn't paid and he always makes these excuses. And I have respect for you, Mr. Mufti, that he says that you haven't paid him the full money. Astaghfirullah. I've been paying him every Friday, full money that he pays. Hasn't paid you? Because no, he's every time he mentions your name out of respect, I don't say anything. I thought I'll approach you directly. Inna lillahi. So he says like he hasn't paid this amount of money. But this is wrong. I've told him, to give everybody the wages. And he said, no, it's enough for everybody. So he used to keep the money and he used to give it to him. So then I said, no, this is wrong. And I asked him, why didn't you? Because no, I'll give it. Don't worry, leave it between him and me. But then what happened? He never continued not giving the money. So he said, I'm not going to work. So then when he said, I'll directly work for you. Do you understand? So then when he came with the invoices, I gave him the money and he said, no, you don't need to give it straight away. I said, no, the hadith tells us, A'atul ajira ajrahu qabla an yajifa araqu. Give the laborer his wages before his sweat dries. And I'm giving you, you've done the work, you take it. And he started to cry, he became emotional. He said, you know, that's amazing. I've been working for them, they never used to give it. And now I'll work. So he's been working for me for the last 10 years. He said, you know, I'll work directly for you now. So the point here is we have to be a role model. We have to be an ambassador of deen. We have to represent Islam. And that will only happen when we get the true knowledge and we start practicing it. So the point I like to complete with, the synopsis of the bayan is, first of all, we need to make sure that we, first of all, become a complete Muslim, not a part-time Muslim. Number two, you understand, we get the knowledge from the right, reputable, those scholars who are recognized, they have got the true knowledge from the right people, and then we can get the right kind of knowledge. And understanding, like whatever we learn, that we practice on that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم آمين الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم إنا نرجوك ألا تدع لنا في مقامنا هذا بعد صلاة العصر يا رب العالمين لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرت ولا هما إلا فرجت ولا كربا إلا نفست ولا دينا إلا أديت ولا سؤالا إلا أعطيت ولا دعاء إلا أجبت ولا تائبا إلا قبلت ولا عسيرا إلا يسرت ولا مبتلا إلا عافيت ولا ولدا إلا أصلحت ولا عقيما إلا وهبت ولا فتى يريد العفاف إلا زوجت ولا مريض إلا شفيته وعافيت ولا ميتا إلا رحمت ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا أعنتنا على قضائها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز أهل غزة يا رب العالمين اللهم تقبل شهداءهم اللهم اشف مرضاهم اللهم داوي جرحاهم اللهم برد آلامهم اللهم حرر المسجد الأقصى من أيدي الغاصبين ومن مكر الماكرين يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعل هذا الاجتماع اجتماعا مرحوما وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا ولا منا ولا معنا شقيا ولا محروما اللهم صل وسلم وأنعم وبارك على حبيبنا وسيدنا وقدوتنا وقائدنا وشفيعنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى أصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته ولمن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين